goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club is once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Cartwright! That's what we're all singing, as Henry Cartwright sent a rocket into the top bin, and it was Falkirk 1, Rangers 1 at the Falkirk Stadium on Sunday. Sorry for the delay, we're back. It is your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. This is Falkirk Daft. I am John McInally, and with me as ever, Ginger Gordon Pod himself, Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Yes, I was slightly delayed just because of the Sunday, and then... Well, we had a few drinks on Sunday, and then yesterday was work, so...
Yeah, well, yesterday's work. It's a nightmare with these Sunday games, you know, because obviously it kind of delays the podcast, and we've got international break coming off, so there's not going to be a podcast next Monday, but we'll have a preview a week on Thursday. It's all over the place, Ross.
All over the joint, mate, but as you said, we're here, we're ready, let's do it.
Yeah, just the problem of being in the Premiership. How was you were in hospitality, obviously, at the weekend there? How was it?
I had a great day. I'm not going to lie to you. It was really, really good. So.
I did see Falkirk Daft Venoms in your hand at 7:30 on a Sunday evening, Ross Wayne.
Yes. So we had a really good afternoon at the stadium. Obviously disappointed not to pick up the 3 points, but we did more than deserved our point. We hit the fan zone after the game, just to let all the nonsense with the Rangers ultras.
What about that for me?
We'll talk about that. So to let all that die down, and then we headed up town. So had a couple of drinks in the Behind the Wall, Venoms in hand, as you said, and then finished off in the Wheat Sheaf before heading home. So,
smashing.
Good day.
What a time to be alive. Were you off Monday or did you have to work Monday?
No, I was off yesterday. And I had family up from Derbyshire, as you know, so they left yesterday as well.
All right, yeah, fantastic. Good then. Well, it was a great day. I was in solo on the 1876 lounge, which was just full of Rangers supporters that had sneaked in. So it was like they got a bit, you know, at first it was like, any Rangers supporters in? One or two hands. And then I went into the other room at the living room, it was just all Rangers supporters. So fun and games in there on Sunday. But it was a good time. I had my good friend, Stephen Purden, Shelsett Bob. He was with me. A lot of people getting selfies and a lot of people just coming on. I'm a Rangers guy too, Stephen. You're not alone. You know, loads of people like that. So he was like, he says to me, this is like the Blue Room.
Was he, result aside, did he enjoy his afternoon?
He did. He had a great time. He really, really enjoyed it. He kept saying, this is some setup you've got here, John. This is good. Like, that's really good. Really enjoyed it. So it was good. We had a couple of former players in there. Fareed was kicking about on Sunday.
He was, yes. He was in the Bravo Lounge very briefly. Had his daughter, I think it was anyway. His daughter was in with him. So, just great to see him. He's obviously, he was a one-season sort of wonder, wasn't he? And at the time, we were probably starved for, like, not like, he wasn't, I don't think he's a legend, right? But he was a cult hero for a bit. And we were starved at the time for, like, players with a bit of personality, and he definitely had a bit of personality. And it was great to see him. Andy Seaton was also in the...
Brilliant.
His chat was fantastic. It was quite funny though, because he kept having like wee sly digs at Alec Totten, who was also in the lounge. He's like, yeah, bugger, you signed Jamie McCaulkin and sent me to Aloha and all this kind of stuff.
Talking of which, Jamie McCaulkin was actually kicking about the stadium as well. I didn't recognise him as well. He's lost all his hair now, but lovely, lovely guy. Darren Barr was in, and so was Ryan McStay. There was loads of experts. Legend that was Jim Shearer. What a gentleman. What an absolute gentleman. I mean, obviously before my time, but an absolute, for any of the older listeners, Jim Shearer. Yeah. You look back at the sort of stories of Jim Shearer, what a legendary player he was at the club. And Andy Nicol was, I've talked about legendary players, Andy Nicol was there as well. So, no, great bunch of former players at, in the 1876 Lounge on Sunday. Remember, if you fancy coming along, we're doing that this season. So pop along and say hello. Try to do the big sale on Falkirk Daft Live, of course, which is on sale now, everyone. And why haven't you got your tickets? Usually by this point, we're coming and going, it's sold out. Right, I'm just going to go, let's see what the latest sales are for Falkirk Daft Live happening behind the wall 29th of November. It's our big Christmas party.
Indeed.
And we have 40 tickets left.
So 220 is the capacity and we've got 40 left.
Yeah, we have got 40 tickets left. So get them now. Should we unveil our first guest for Falkirk Daft Live?
I think so, if we're able. Yeah. I think so. I know we've got one that's probably going to be a little bit later in the week, but we can do one.
Yep, we can certainly do one. It was just confirmed today. Our first guest for Falkirk Daft Live, which we can unveil, is Brian Rice.
Brilliant.
Ricey is going to be at Falkirk Daft Live, and I'm pretty sure he's going to have some brilliant stories, not only as a player, but also as assistant manager to Yogi. You know, he's really excited about coming along as well. Yeah. So can't wait to have Ricey in the carnage, which is Falkirk Daft Live. If you've never been to a Falkirk Daft Live night, it is what I just said. It is carnage, chaos, drunkenness, and some brilliant stories from some former players as well.
It is. It's brilliant. We've obviously, this is our sixth one. We've had five so far. Some big, big legends of the club. If the last one's anything to go by with some of the stories for Yogi, I think we'll get some even more belters at Ricey.
I think Ricey
remembers more. I reckon he'll remember more.
And I think Ricey will dish the dirt on Yogi. And
probably.
You'll get all those stories about Yogi that will come out from Ricey. So I think it's going to be an absolute cracking guest. I'm really looking forward. And we can ask about Brian Clough. I think we've got to. It's
100%. Forest man here. I need to speak to him about Clough.
We've got to ask about the stories about Clough as well. Obviously, him working with Clough down at Nottingham Forest. So can't wait to speak to Brian Rice behind the wall November the 29th. Get your tickets now. The links are on, in fact pinned to our Twitter and our Facebook, so get your tickets now, and hopefully by this time next week we're sold out. And we've got another great guest up our sleeves as well, and a very special guest coming along in the night as well, hopefully.
We do.
Oh, it's Christmas. Who knows who might turn up at Christmas time, eh? The other thing we want to do is, on the night, actually, we're going to do an auction and a charity fundraiser for Leon McCann's charity, which he just launched after the birth of his son, who was born deaf. Leon set up, and his partner have set up a charity for that, just to help parents that are in those circumstances. So we're going to be doing an auction on the night and hopefully raising a bit of dough for Leon's new charity.
And,
so
and one of the auction prizes, it is literally one off. There is not another one out there. We won't tell you what it is just yet. We'll share the graphics soon, but it looks fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So looking forward to Behind the Wall on the 29th of November. It's Falkirk Daft Live 6, the Christmas party. So get your tickets now. All right, let's go to Birthday Corner right now and say happy birthday to Lorna Blakely, who's 16 on Wednesday. That's the 8th of October. Lorna plays for the Falkirk Foundation and is a season ticket holder and wannabe Gate 20 Ultra. Come on, Lorna. Why is Lorna not in Gate 20 already? Come on. Get involved. Please wish her a sweet 16 from her Uncle Dougie and all her family.
Fantastic. Also, a belated happy birthday on the 1st of October to Apple, and that's from your husband, Gordon Loudon. He also says, thanks for all your support, Apple, during his recent health issues. Get well soon to Gordon, obviously, as well.
I thought there was only one Apple in this world, and that was Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin's child.
There you go.
It's good to hear there's an Apple in Falkirk as well. So happy birthday to Apple. Happy birthday also to Grant Elliott, who's celebrating his 50th recently. Now, this is weird because I'm pretty sure Grant wished happy birthday to Michelle. Now, Michelle is working, wishing Grant a happy birthday. So that is from Michelle Scott, Ross Hannah, and we've talked about this as well. The fur baby's boss, the dog, and Toby.
Yeah. Then yes, we did.
When we speculated, is the dog named after Bruce Springsteen?
We did, didn't we? And then that led to a conversation about, like, what is a traditional dog name?
Yes, that's
Because
true.
Toby is a traditional dog name, 100%.
Is your dog named after a pop star? Maybe.
Indeed,
Or
exactly.
a Falkirk player? Is your dog, let's ask that question. Is your dog named after a Falkirk player? Well, I've got Barney, but it was before Barney
Moved.
arrived. I do know our gaffer, Brian Flynn, has named his dog Alfie after Alfie Agyeman.
Oh, is that actually after argument?
Absolutely. So Alfie is named after Alfie Agyeman, lovely Labrador that is Alfie. So there you go. But if you've named your dog or pet after a Falkirk player in the past or in the present, let us know. Comment below, please. Leave us on Twitter. Happy 33rd birthday to Glenn McIntosh. That's from Jodie and Raja. And we've got another one that's just come in.
We do lastminute.com this one. It's a happy birthday to Tommy Gray, and who was 48 on the 6th of October. And that's from Mum, Dad, Sister Dawn, and all the family.
Right, okay. A couple of Bairns birthdays. Remember Matt Glennon? He
I
was born
do.
on
He was all
October
right, him. I didn't mind
8th.
Glennon.
Goalkeeper Glennon, so he was
Yep.
born on October the 8th. The one and only Sam McGivern. Happy birthday, Sammy. He was kicking about on Sunday as well. The old Super Sam.
He came into the Broadville Lounge a couple of times. He also had a go at me just before he left because he was chatting to the guys who I was at the table with, and he made a point of saying that I used to boo him back in the 90s. Never happened, Sammy. I was an original ginger fanatic of Sammy McGivern.
There you go. And he shares his birthday with the one and only the housewife's favourite, Alan Gow, who turns 43 on the October the 9th as well.
Alan Gow. There we go. Yeah, he
Alan
did have a
Gow
good song,
running down
though. The
the
song
wing.
was good as well.
Alan Gow, Alan Gow. This is what I sing. Feared by the fife, loved by the wife. Alan Gow, Alan Gow. Absolutely brilliant. Love it. So happy birthday, Gowser. October the 11th. The one and only, we've mentioned him just now. It's his birthday. You should have messaged him and said happy birthday to Ricey. He's going to be 62 on the 11th of October.
Yeah. Do you know, obviously, he's the same age as Sammy. There you go. So I've been there. I don't know why I would have thought they wouldn't have been the same age because they played about the same time. It was the same era. So, yeah, no, absolutely brilliant. So, yeah.
Our former player and manager, Elvis Presley, doing a sparkling job at Dundee at the moment. Long may that continue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Big game against a huge game in the next couple of weeks, so I'm not going to slag him off too much at the end.
has to be 3 points, doesn't it? That
There's
has
a
to be three
lot.
points.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, Stephen Presley's one that kind of separates fans. I thought he did a decent job with what he had at Falkirk. Obviously, he was kind of left, and took us down. But I actually thought, he brought a lot of youth players into the side. And
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree, John. I think I didn't want him as the manager, as
no.
caretaker manager when he took us down.
There's a whole thing
However,
about, I remember the stories, the whole thing about McNamara and McCann.
yeah.
In the job, and then Presley, and obviously Presley ended up with Lee Bullen as his assistant as well.
Aye. But no, in terms of what he did when we got relegated, he did have his hands tied. Some of the more expensive players didn't want to leave. And he brought, do you know what? He brought a lot of money in from playing youth. I know he had to, right? But he did all right. So I've not got any really too much grudge. I do want him to like fail at this Dundee job, obviously,
Obviously.
because that means we're okay. But 52. I actually thought he was older than that.
Yeah, he looks
He does
it.
look.
Sorry, Stephen. Sorry. And another player, Mark Waddington. Now, do we have him on? Who did we have him on loan from, Mark
I think
Waddington?
it was Stoke.
Yes. I thought he was decent, actually. He was one of the best of a bad bunch that came in at that point.
They were all shite, to be fair, but it's
He was
Mark.
all
I
right.
do remember he scored against Alloa.
Yeah.
It's weird though to find out that he's retired, like he's still in his 20s and he's left football. I think his last club was like 2020 or something like that. God, he would have only been about 23 when he's retired.
There you go. So
Yeah.
there, Mark Warren, happy birthday to you. Sharing your birthday with Brian Rice and Stephen Presley. There you go. Listen, we've talked about Falkirk Daft Live, but back for Falkirk Daft Live 6 at Christmas party. It's that time of the year when Strictly's hitting the telly. Well, the X Factor used to hit the telly at this time. Now it's been knocked off. But we brought it back and we're calling it the F Factor. Right, we're looking for just songs about Falkirk. That's all you have to do. Pick a Falkirk player, just make up a song about Falkirk. And if you do, you could be on the stage at Behind the Wall, we'll get you sorted out on the guest list, and you could be performing that song for a fantastic prize. We've not decided that prize yet.
No.
We'll work out a prize for that. It'll be fantastic. But you could be starring on stage alongside Brian Rice and many others to be revealed.
Last year's final was...
brilliant. It was a belter. Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant. So we've got our first entrance for the X Factor. Would you like to hear it from Stuart McDonald?
I would, yes.
Here we go.
Henry Cartwright. Henry Cartwright. Henry Cartwright's got a massive arse. It's not just used for farting. It strikes like Russell Martin. Henry Cartwright's got a massive arse. Can't wait to see the next pod, fellas.
There you go, Stuart. First entry to this year's F Factor. Get them in. Stuart could be on stage at Behind the Wall performing that very song. I'd like to see that happen. So best of luck to Stuart. So get your inches in. Get him in the DMs. Email us johnross@falkirkdaft.co.uk if you would. That'd be great. Club news. Oktoberfest is now only Saturday the 11th and Saturday the 18th. Tickets are still on sale for that. It's just a big beer. Ross, did you have tickets for the Friday night, so you're not going now, presumably?
That's right, yes. Yeah. So we, for those who had booked on the Friday and the Sunday of this weekend, I just don't think there had been enough interest in the evenings. However, I believe from speaking to the commercial guys on Sunday that the two Saturday days are looking pretty healthy.
Right. And I guess there was the option to move to the Saturday days.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, you could have moved to either of the Saturday dates if you were able. Unfortunately, our group that we're going, we're going to struggle for the two Saturdays. Obviously, the second Saturday, Falkirk are playing Motherwell away.
Hey, can you get back to Oktoberfest after the game?
That is true. However, again, it's just in terms of what people have already got on, so it's not gonna work for our group anyway. It wasn't gonna work, but it sounds like it. Can I just say I know you didn't get into the fan zone. Oh no, did you get into the fan zone on Sunday?
No.
No, it looks brilliant. So they've moved the bar inside the fan zone now. They've got extra decorations, loads of navy and white decorations up there. Loads of good options with the choice of German beers as well. So I think that's going to be a brilliant, brilliant couple of days.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. So get us down to Oktoberfest. Liam Henderson, player of the month. I think he was a standout candidate, wasn't he? He got awarded with his player of the month in the fan zone.
I saw that after the game. I think that's great that they're doing that, by the way, because there's hundreds of fans in the fan zone after the game. He was mobbed. Apparently, he was there for a good 45 minutes after the presentation.
People getting selfies. Yeah,
exactly. Listen, Liam, he's been like so consistent. There were a few others who maybe could have got in with a shout. Scott Bain probably got a lot of votes. Leon McCann got a lot of votes.
Yep.
Keelan Adams as well. So, some real standouts in September.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but well done, Hendo. Tickets for the Motherwell game, as Ross says, are still on sale. That's on the 18th, and there's limited North Stand tickets available for the Dundee game on the 25th. That game is huge. I mean, looking ahead, Ross, see if you got 4 points out of those two fixtures. Unbelievable stuff. We need 3 points against Dundee, though.
We need 3 points against Dundee. Motherwell are doing really well now, so that I think that will be a tough game. But I think they play a very similar open side of football like Falkirk, so it could be a high scoring game against Motherwell. I think that will be. But listen, I'd love a point now, but we can go there and win. Of course, we can. Yeah. And that's obviously a big double header before we head back to Celtic Park, but this time on league duty.
Yeah, AGM packs went out today. Obviously, the AGM's happening on the 24th of October. I don't know if it's an embargo. You're obviously a shareholder, Ross. You've got the pack through. You don't have the chance.
I've not had the chance to go through it yet. What I would say is it looks very encouraging. It looks healthy. But no, I've not had a chance to go through it yet.
Well, let's go through that next. We can have a bit of a breakdown of what's what on that and on the preview show next week. By that, we'll crunch the numbers, Ross, and work it and see, get below the bonnet. And, like, you know, I'm expecting you, having worked in finance, to be crunching that numbers, working out where the money's going, where it's been. And we'll have a deep dive into that next week.
We'll do that
on the show. Shout out as well to Kai Brown, who's just signed.
Saw that tonight.
First contract. Now, Kai, a Larbert High boy, played in the Stirlingshire Cup, one of the younger players to ever play for Falkirk at 15-odd years old. Falkirk Daft, apparently, as well, which is great to hear. So a young lad who's Falkirk supporter, signing for the club, always a good thing. Love that.
I do as well. He's a name that's been kicked about quite a few times in recent months. James Swinney mentioned him at the last Falkirk Daft Live. John McGlynn's mentioned about him before. So I think some really exciting things there. As you said, he's a Falkirk Daft lad as well. I see he has been in and amongst the squad, like on match days, not as in part of the match day squad, obviously, but in terms of just being involved. And like doing warm ups and stuff, and seeing what the match day actually looks like. So, I think we could see him in a squad. I'm not saying he's going to be in soon, but in the next year or two, who knows?
Who knows? Well, a young lad with a lot of potential. So looking forward to seeing what Kai can do for the Bairns, and obviously dreams come true. Imagine signing for your boyhood club.
Brilliant.
I'd love to see that. The Falkirk women remain unbeaten. The girls keep on going. Come on, they could recreate the Invincible season. It'd be amazing. But Liv Murphy getting the only goal in the 1-0 win over Dryborough at the weekend. It's 7 wins and 1 draw.
Brilliant.
And 6 points clear at the top. Go on, the girls.
The table looks very... I had a look at the Scottish Championship table. It looks very sexy, by the way. So there's a 6-point gap now between first and second place. I think everyone's played the same amount of games as well. So the girls are just doing so, so well.
So good. So good. They need to come along to the Falkirk Daft Live. They were judging their fans.
They were brilliant, actually, at the they weren't at the last one. I think it was two live events.
They judged their factor.
A shout. We'll reach out
Captain
to the girls and see if they fancy coming along. Absolutely.
Yeah, come on, Captain Anna, come down. We'll get you on the panel, because she was the expert panel last time. So great to see the girls down at Falkirk Daft Live as well. So, and they're just keep rolling. Amazing. Before we get into looking back at the Rangers game, though, let's thank our sponsors behind the wall. Falkirk Daft Venom is still on sale. I think all the glasses, they had an offer on over the weekend. If you got a Falkirk Daft Venom, you got a back-to-back champions glass as well. Yep. They've all gone. I got one. I was in behind the wall on Saturday there. Oh, and also I've got another Falkirk Daft restaurant review.
Where did you go?
On the High Street. It used to be the York Cafe.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. Really good. Had a bit of deep fried zucchini fritters, and I had a bit of moussaka.
Nice.
Very, very nice. Really nice service, nice atmosphere. They've now got their license, so they're selling alcohol. Had a lovely glass of red wine, Ross. Lovely meal. The only complaint I would say, and this is not the Greek Theory's fault, is that it looks across the demolished calendar square. So the demolished calendar square's there, and you can see out to the Ocles. If you go beyond that, it's out to the Ocles. But I would give it a Falkirk Daft rating of 4 stars.
4 stars is good. That's pretty good.
4 stars.
But that does sound like your good, really good write up. I have heard other people talking about it as well.
Get yourself on, and they do takeaway food as well, I noticed. So you can get some Greek takeaway food, which is very nice. But yeah, get yourself down to the Greek Theory. There you go. Falkirk Daft reviewing restaurants yet again. But anyway, I find another fabulous restaurant and great food is at Behind the Wall, where you can also, like you say, get the Falkirk Daft Venom, which is exclusive to Behind the Wall. And as I say, you didn't get a glass. Did you get your glass?
We didn't get the ones on Sunday night. However, Brian did get in touch to say there was a handful left, so I need to go along and collect
they might still be there. So if you get down behind the wall, get your Falkirk Daft Venom glass, that will sort you out. Brian will sort you out down there. And of course, they've got fine wines, lagers, craft and cask ales, and fantastic value food. And the service is always brilliant and behind the wall. Paul and all the bar team down there are fantastic. We'll see you, right? And we've got great live events. Not only do they have Falkirk Daft Live in there, the wonderful Barbara Bryson, formerly of The Voice, she is going to be there this Sunday, the 12th of October. And All Right Now, Free and Bad Company tribute. Now we've found out Ross knows a free song. What is it?
Do well. All right.
There we go. Testing you again. That's happening on Saturday, the 18th of October, after the Motherwell game. And there's still spaces on the coach, the Falkirk Daft Carling coach, for the Motherwell away game. Seats are still on sale. £10 return, and obviously get your pint when you get back to the bar. So all good. Check out everything that's happening behind the wall. behindthewall.co.uk. Right, we've talked enough. We've kept our guest pundit on hold long enough now, but let's talk Rangers and that 1-1 draw at the stadium. And we're going to do that in the company of Vicky Lowe.
Good evening, both of you.
Good evening, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you two?
Very good, thank you. We're a bit delayed in getting the podcast out this week, so thank you for joining us, Vicky. We've not had you on before, Vicky, so we need to find out your Falkirk story. What's your Falkirk story?
Okay, so I'm now of a certain age, beginning with a 5. So I started going to Falkirk games when I was at high school. Around about first year, my best friend from school, Vicky, who's also called Vicky, Vicky Holland, took me along to a QPR game at Brockville, friendly.
Oh, yeah, yep.
So I think that was the late 80s. So, yeah, went along to that and then basically just started going with her mum and dad and her brother to games. And then my dad, who had been a massive Falkirk fan in his time over the years, started going to the games as well. And my brother, Ryan, of Armour.
Got to get that plug in there, well done.
In case, by the way, just inform me it's rumour, because I've been told off by that by Ryan. Oh, okay. So, yeah,
I'm getting it wrong then. Yeah. You'll have to pay me for that one later. So obviously Ryan started coming along as well, all his friends. So yeah, just been a Falkirk fan all these years.
And you've dragged your daughter into it as well.
I have. I've done my bit for the cause, because obviously you'll probably mention it later, but I stay just outside Dundee in Broughty Ferry. So Emily is technically a Dundonian, but I was having none of that. So she is now a diehard Bairn and a season ticket holder at the Falkirk Stadium.
Love it. I believe you've not convinced her to come on the podcast tonight, though.
Well, she was debating it, and then she said, "Oh, will I? Won't I?" And about 10 minutes before we were due to do this, she just came home and she was like, "Oh, I won't have enough time. I'll do it next time." So, yeah,
Neil, she said it now, and it's recorded, so she has to.
Exactly. listen, we've got the Falkirk Daft list of questions. It's the bucket hat list. I've messed it up. It's the bucket hat list. Not the bucket list, it's the bucket hat list of questions. And I'm going to pull one out for you, Vicky, and you've got to answer it. So we're doing this all season on Falkirk Daft. What is the best goal you have seen at the stadium?
Oh, well, that might be answered from Sunday. difficult one. I'd probably say, if I'm not going to go with Henry's from Sunday, I think probably one of Ethan's ones from the last game of the season. Not particularly because it was an amazing, amazing goal, either of them or Calvin's, but just really what it meant. I even feel a bit emotional talking about it. It just meant so much to all us fans. And moments that we'll remember.
I say this every week, but these are good questions. Like, they really do sort of get you thinking. And
I think we've had that one before, because I remember talking about Craig McGuffey's halfway line goal and how that's very much forgotten, even though he scored from the halfway line. And because it was against Peterhead, and it was just like, but he still scored from inside his own half. I'm always like that.
Yeah, I think if it was any other, I get it. And it probably does him a bit of a disservice.
What a hat trick coming off the bench.
I know.
I've got a little gap where I was being a mum. So there's a lot of games I kind of missed that sort of sort of 2009s onwards sort of thing. Too busy doing other things at that time. But just for what it meant, Ethan and Calvin's goals from the end of the season.
It was amazing. Absolutely.
And Henry's from Sunday.
And Henry's. We'll talk about that just in a minute. We're talking about the Rangers game. Coming into that, we spoke to Stephen Purden, who was obviously at the game with me. Rangers coming into it. off the back of a European defeat and Russell Mann under serious, serious pressure. So the big question was, could the Bairns put the nail in the coffin? The answer was, yes, they could. Slightly changed side from what started at Hearts. Obviously, Lewis Nielsen was able to return. There was lots of talk, though, Ross. We thought that Sam Hart might get the nod after his performance at Tynecastle, but he picked up concussion.
Yeah, we don't know if it was in training or if it had happened at the Hearts game. We're not sure, but yeah, he had to be rested for 10 days. Weirdly enough, he was sitting just a couple of rows in front of me on Sunday at the hospitality area. There was a few Falkirk players there, Cole and Tom.
Oh, the injury list is pretty big now.
Yeah, there was a few of the boys there.
Tom wasn't on the bench, actually. I noticed Tom didn't make the bench either.
And he had against Hearts, so...
Yeah.
Hopefully there's not been a pickup of an injury there.
I saw a photo that Ruby had posted on her photography page, and it had Tom and Ethan and Finn and another young guy like viewing the game from the window. So,
oh, I see. Right, so they've been watching it there. But yeah, no, there was a lot of chat about Sam Hart playing, but obviously that was ruled out on Thursday or Friday last week, I think. John McGlynn mentioned it in his pre-match press conference. There was obviously Philippe Lisa had played against Hearts, so you weren't sure if Nielsen was going to come straight back in, but he did. And it was great to see Kyrell Wilson back fit again as well.
Yeah, it was good. And he obviously coming into the side and made a difference, I think, going down the right. I mean, I wasn't too sure. The big chat before the match is who's going to play in that 10. And it turned out it was obviously Ethan that played it in the 10. Thought he had a good game there, Ross.
I did too. I thought the forward line, even Calvin Miller, I thought that was Calvin's best.
Yeah, that was his best performance of the season so far, I thought, with Calvin. We'll talk about him as we get into the game. You know, we started off, Vicky, very much like Falkirk do, you know, on that front foot, really try to press it by. That it's just become a thing for Falkirk, starting off really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we started brilliantly. I mean, we were brilliant the entire game, but I thought, you know, especially the first 20-30 minutes, we were so at it. We were consistently asking questions of them. Going back to the team selection, I was a little bit surprised not to see Cartwright starting, but when I saw that Kyrell and Ethan and Calvin as well, it was a really attacking formation, and, you know, we were obviously determined to go at them early doors.
I liked seeing Dylan back in that kind of role beside Brad Spencer in midfield. If a person, I think he gets a wee bit lost in the 10, in my opinion. It's a totally different position. Like, that playing that 10, you're in a where you're getting gathering the ball, and with the way you're gathering the ball is completely different. And I was very happy to see Dylan back in that role, Ross, and I thought he had a decent game as well.
He did, yeah. I don't think there was many, if any, failures on Sunday. I thought everybody kind of really were up for it. As Vicky said, we started really, really brightly. Thankfully, obviously, the goal that went in was disallowed, because that, I think, an early goal might have changed that sort of opening period for us. But as Vicky said, we started so brightly. Every player was up for it. And even the ones who eventually came on in from the bench, they all had something to prove as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Rangers got a goal, or an offside goal. At the time, I thought everyone were like, that's miles off. Absolutely miles off. Why are we even bothering going to, you know, VAR? You know what, the linesman did that stupid thing now where they can't let the play continue. Right. Obviously, Mikey Moore kind of probably the best thing he actually did in the game, got the shot away and Gassama tapped it in. But and it was worrying, because we were all sitting going, we thought it's miles off, and then the VAR decision took absolutely ages. At that point, Vicky, were you worried?
Yeah, well, like you guys, you know, straight away we were saying, oh no, that's offside. I think my only slight criticism, I don't know about you guys, is over the season so far, is sometimes I think, you know, they'll put their hand up for offside and you're like, guys, keep playing until they actually blow the whistle. Yeah. That's my only slight criticism sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's a big learn from the Championship than the VAR kind of Premiership. You do have to, and hopefully that gets wired into them, because it's just really annoying.
Yeah, I mean, when the VAR was getting checked, you know, it took so long. And we all thought it was 110% offside, but it's always that little bit in your mind. It's like, oh no.
That was my fear as well, Vicky. I think for the longer it went on, I'm thinking, oh no, it must be tighter. And then when you actually see the highlights, it's tight. It is tight. Like, I think it's half a foot is the difference. And it's Keelan, I think, that's the closest player to the line when they've drawn it.
I think it depends what angle you see it from as well.
Yeah. And that's where I think the Scottish VAR doesn't work as well as the English one. Because when you look at the English one,
it's automated.
It's all automated. They've got so much more cameras. Yeah. Whereas the angle that they were looking at, our one, was obviously from the 18-yard line, which wasn't anywhere near the actual line that was drawn, you know?
Yeah, no. We got them. Aside from that, though, I mean, Rangers really, I mean, they didn't create much, did they?
No.
They really didn't create much. But we got a big chance, and this, I thought, oh my God, that is the chance that we need. When Kyrie Wilson, whose pace, I thought, is something we've been lacking in the side, and he looks very fast. That's the first time I've seen him because I wasn't up at Aberdeen. Getting down that right-hand side, cutting in, and then getting the shot, you know, the pass into McKeever. McKeever, at first I was like, he got to score that, but looking back, it's a very good save from Jack Butland. Then McKeever, it came at him too fast for him to get any kind of power behind it. So it was a great reaction from McKeever, actually, when you see it. Obviously unlucky. Chance then falls for Ethan Williams at the edge of the box, and it just goes past. And it was a great attacking move, Ross.
It was. We're so unlucky not to score in that moment. And I did think, hopefully not, we're not going to rue these couple of chances. Because as you said, like a brilliant initial save from Butland. Wilson does really well to get another snapshot off, but it was on his left foot, which I don't think is as strong as his right one. So is there an argument he could have shot rather than passing to Ross McKeever? I know there's a lot of bodies in the way, though. That's the only thing.
That if he just got a wee bit of power and kind of curl behind it. It was Wilson that obviously went on the rebound as well, not Williams. But Williams did have that chance as well. Nico Raskin, you know, this guy who's meant to be a Belgian international. I mean, Stephen Purden was sat beside me. I was like, doesn't it look miles off it? But I think it was because he was playing kind of out of position in a kind of 10 role. But there was no one in that Rangers side that you went.
Not really.
Had anything. Gassama, maybe. Gassama was the only one that I kind of think. Yeah. I thought actually the boy was the centre half who was playing left back, Derek Cornelius. I thought he was actually all right. We'll talk about him in relation to the goal. But there was no one really in that Rangers side that caused as much trouble.
I didn't think Raskin looked bored. No. Or interested. Obviously, I know I said this last week.
They were Rangers supporters as well, so they were probably saying the same.
They were saying the same, sitting beside me. They were like, listen, some of these players look miles off it. They weren't saying it to disrespect how Falkirk were doing. Not at all. But I think if you look at that Williams chance, it only comes through, it comes from Williams harassing the Rangers defence. However, the touch that Raskin has, and then he didn't even track back to try and get the ball back. But it's not until you look at that Williams chance from behind the goals that is just past the post.
Yeah.
I thought, why is Butland diving that seriously for it? But it was tight.
Yeah. It was amazing. We had so many chances, in that first sort of period. You know, you were really surely one of these has got to go in. But you know, we've seen that this season as well. That you know, we are creating the chances, but we're just sometimes not getting them converted.
Kind of get our noses in front half the time. Rangers settled a wee bit kind of after that, and then the sucker punch kind of came. With their best move of the match, probably. In fact, the first cross into the box, they managed. It was a good move with, you know, the defending, though, for it. You're just like, Jesus. Cornelius playing it in across. It was a very good ball. And then Miofsky was there to tap it at the back post. But, I mean, you look back at the goal and there's about four or five Falkirk players around Cornelius. But they're basically all apparently doing their job, but they kind of, you see afterwards, they're all to Kyrie Wilson, like, why is he in this space and why are you not with him?
Yeah, there was when you watch it back, more so as you just said, John, there's five players and not one person tries to close them down. So
I don't think it was one player's fault. I think it was, all of them.
That's your man.
I think at one point there was three players like in close together, and you were like, surely one of you is going to put a foot in. And I think, as you said, each one of them was thinking the other person was doing it, and we just seemed to be. It was like we were just caught out at that point.
Yeah, you look back, and I'm sure John McGuinn will have the boys watching that bit of video over and over again. It was really their first decent bit of football and the first chance, and he scored from it, which was unfortunate. So into the second first half, 1-0 down, probably didn't deserve to be 1-0 down. In fact, we didn't deserve to be 1-0 down. And then the second half rolls on. No subs at half time. Weren't surprised with that, Ross, were you?
No, because we were holding our own. We were doing pretty well. I thought subs would come if we hadn't scored, and they obviously did. We actually thought all the subs were perfectly timed on Saturday.
Again, they were.
Critical at points about timing. Subs, are we leaving it too late, that type of thing. But actually, the subs that he brought on, and Agyeman, probably the standout sub that did.
Unbelievable.
Cartwright scoring, sorry. But in terms of his impact for a longer period of the game, Alfie saw a lot of the ball.
Oh, David, you would be in the rear Rangers support room. I'm very surprised it was Wilson that made way for him, and I was quite critical of that. I was like, I'm assuming he's just not got a match fitness or up.
Yeah, he's not fully fit yet.
So I was surprised that he won, because I thought he was causing troubles down that right hand side. But Alfie comes on, and then you're talking to your Rangers mate. Wait till you see this guy, absolute chaos merchant. And Alfie was just what I expected. He was brilliant. I thought he came on and it made a difference at Hearts as well. But I thought, again, Alfie was great. And he was just trying to get to that byline, delivering great balls into the box. And he did that for Ross McKeever. Brilliant work from Alfie. Gets the ball across. And Ross, I think he's been taking a wee learn from Brian Graham, because he really kind of attacked that header, really went at it. Obviously, it wasn't on target, but... Yeah. I liked his aggression, and actually I liked the aggression from the whole team. I thought that's the most aggressive we've looked since we've come back up, I think.
I agree. We were fighting for absolutely everything, and I think that has to be the level, that has to be the standard now. And it's not that we're wanting to go through loads of games with bookings and red cards and stuff, but that wasn't the type of aggression that's shown. And you're right, the leap, Ross McKeever took three players, including, I think, was it, there was another player, he actually, one of our players,
he knocked
him out of the way. So, really unlucky. That would have been a brilliant start to the second half had that went in, but the goal wasn't far behind it.
Yeah. Talked about subs. More subs came on. Big Brian coming on, and of course Henry Cartwright. The obvious kind of sub is Ross for Brian on for Ross, and Henry Cartwright. We've seen him and Patchy. He didn't have a great game at Hearts. I don't think a lot of our players did have a great game at Hearts. So, but Henry came on for Dylan Tate, and obviously made an absolute, pretty much instant impact, because it must have been his second, third touch of the ball that he had. And then it was just brilliant. Absolutely smashes Diamandi out of the way with his big old arse. I just love the strength of this boy. Yeah. Just love the aggression and what he does. Smashes him out of the way. And it wasn't a foul. It was not a foul. It was 2 points going for the ball, and he was just out-muscled Diamandi, knocked him on his arse. And then he's got all the space in the stadium. No one's coming towards him. And as ever, and it's the first time in ages, shoot! And he's taking a shot, and he's taking the chance, and it's, at the time, you're thinking, oh my God, he's just popped that in the top corner. What a goal. But you watch back, it's taken a little nick of John Souter.
A small nick, yeah.
I think it was going in. I would say it was going in without the nick.
I think I had enough power behind it as well. He just literally was launched it towards the goal, and I don't think there was going to be any stopping that goal.
I was getting quite annoyed watching the highlights and a little bits and bobs since. Sorry, I don't mean as in like the commentator saying, but some of the other podcasts that I've been on so far are saying, "Oh, it took a wicked deflection, and that's what beat Butland." No,
Nah,
I'm sorry,
it
that was
didn't
going
take
in.
a
It was
wicked
going in.
deflection. Nah, it didn't take a wicked deflection. I totally disagree. I've heard a few of those podcasts as well, Ross. They'll go nameless, but no, it was a cracking goal, and taking a chance. Learn from it, Bairns. Take a chance because you never know what will happen. And saying that, Agyeman had one a bit later on and took a chance. And I was like, trying to square it. But that aside, Alfie, but aye, just have a go. When you've got that space and you see the goals in front of you, take a
And
pop.
that's what we've all been shouting for, like all season. Is like, half the time we're all just sat in the stand giving it shout, like,
Yeah. See the
tired,
difference? See the difference though between Cartwright's effort and Alfie's. And listen, I get Alfie try to have a go. It was quite far. It was even further out than Cartwright's. But I think
I
with
Leo
Cart,
tried one as well. As well, I was
yeah.
like,
But
just bundled through.
with Cartwright, he didn't actually have too much other options than shooting, right? Obviously, Alfie. I know we'll probably come back to it, but he had Trey to the left. He had Keelan to the right.
Keelan
Or Keelan probably would have been in a really good position to play him in, but the confidence was just flowing through the team,
Yeah.
and you completely got him having a go. And had it went in,
Oh wow.
Jesus Christ, that would the place would
Exactly.
have erupted.
Man.
Oh my.
Yeah, completely. I think it's hard as well. Like, to be fair to Alfie, when you've got like nearly 7,000 Bairns roaring at you to give it a go, then it's probably a bit hard to be like, oh, actually, I'll pass it over to Keelan. You want to have that glory moment, don't you?
Who all thought that when Scott Arfield came off the bench, he would score and put the final nail in Russell Martin's coffin?
I know.
Like, the Rangers supporters sitting next to me thought so, and I'm sure the Rangers supporters next to you thought so as well.
Was
And
a
I think the Rangers
collective,
supporters
oh
wanted to happen
no,
as well.
yeah, aye, they did. They did.
But I know it was obviously Arfield came on, and as he does, and just kind of so we should have won it though. We, after that, just it, you just felt, and I said as well, this the you know, probably you know, when we met in the championship, when we met them in the Scottish Cup final, that's one of the best top flight performance I've seen against the Rangers team. I would say in my lifetime, that's probably the I can't think. I'm sure maybe people will correct me, but I in the league in the top flight, I can't remember many other Falkirk performances against Rangers, which we've troubled them as much as we did that day.
No, you're probably right. I would have to go back to like very, very early 90s. I remember winning 1-0, but it wasn't like a dominating performance. It was a backs to the wall tight performance. In fact, maybe I'm doing as a dis I don't even think we won. I think it was like 1-1 and Peter Godfrey scored for us. But I think I agree, John, from a top flight perspective, we were very dominant, and every pundit almost apart in fact every interview I've heard apart from Russell Martin's post-match interview
Maybe
suggested that we
gaslighting the Rangers supporters.
he was just ripping
Like
them
that
by
was
that
that
point anyway.
comical Ali from the Iraqi war. There's nothing to see here. We did very well. There are no tanks in the streets. It was very much like that
Can
from
I just
Russell
check, is he
Martin.
Welsh?
I don't know. But I know it was, and we that chance for Brian Graham.
Know.
I mean, he can't do it. Brian can't do anything else on that chance, and you just think that deflection, it's just going to take it under him, under Butland, and it just,
See, if that went in, the roof would have went off.
imagine if
The
Jesus,
roof.
Brian would have taken the roof off himself. I think he looked very determined, but again,
Did
brought
you
the
see the one with the
intensity.
drop ball? The referee was
Oh,
oh.
yes, 100%, Vicky. When he went, he thought he's going to go for the straw. It was
Oh,
it's obviously the
determined.
thing. He was like, ah, the referee, everyone's holding him back, and Brian's like, ah, ready to
The
go.
referee kept sort of like go to do it, and then he was like, "No, this guy's going to totally go for it." And it was like he was like officiating at some school game, and it was like, for goodness sake, just drop the ball. But Brian Graham was absolutely like
It.
wired and determined to get that ball.
Was.
That's the thing I like about Brian. He just brings that aggression. I mean, he probably will get sent off at some point. But I love the aggression that Big Brian brings when he comes on the park. He brings the team with him in it as well. So I really like, as if he's maybe not a starter for us, but he's certainly a finisher. He's absolute, you know, because he does bring that experience onto the park. I was so unlucky with that chance. Imagine if that had went in. Oh! Most annoying part of the game, though, however.
What was that?
Went into injury time. We have Butland in the box. Scott, it breaks to Scott Arfield. He's able to get down to line to argument and think, oh, here's the chance. Alvey's just going to run the length of the park in time. But the referee blew his bloody whistle. If that had been Buddy Rangers, I bet you that gets continued, but he blew his whistle and it finished one each, raging.
But did that not show you also the desperation as well that, you know, their keeper had came up?
Yeah.
You did, and I found it odd. Like, it wasn't as if they were losing. Like, and I know, listen, I get it, right? A draw away to Falkirk's a poor result for Rangers, right? However, I can't believe Jack Buckland went up a corner and, like, where they're still drawing. And as you said, John, see if that was just literally 30 seconds earlier, because he blew at 96.06, I think it was, on the big screen. So it was over, right? So it's hard to moan too much. But
there was a wee bit of free kicks and stuff, whatever happened in stoppage
I know that you're right. If it was Rangers, they probably would have got another 30 seconds to finish the attack. But had that happened though, just 30 seconds earlier, I don't think Alfie would have shot from too far out. Like you've said, I think he would have used his pace and he would have bombed it up the park and then just tapped it in. He would have done.
I know. Ed, just so frustrating. So frustrated. But listen, we got the point. Is it, for me though, and I asked this question in the 1876 lounge when the players got back up into it, was it 2 points dropped or 1 point gained? And it was Dylan Tate and it was Kyrie Wilson that came up to the lounge and they both said it was 2 points dropped. Because that's
how we probably went. Felt like that.
But still, you walk away, you know, at the start of the match, Vicky, we offer you a point against Rangers and you go, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if anybody had said to any of us a couple of seasons ago, you know, that we'd be disappointed to come away with a 1-1 draw against Rangers, we would have laughed. You know, there's nobody thought we'd be in this position where we are at the moment. However, you guys are saying about the players coming up. I went across to the fan zone after the game with Emily, and Hendo was over to collect his Player of the Month award, and that was the first thing that he got asked, you know, a great game today, a point against Rangers, are you happy with that? And Hendo was like, so you could tell that the players were, I think they were obviously pleased with their brilliant performance, as we all were, but I think the players were kind of like us, thinking, you know, we should have got the 3 points. But yeah, listen, brilliant result, really happy with the point, and yeah, I just thought it was a phenomenal performance. Really just a gritty, determined performance from the guys.
Yeah, by the way, talking about the players, John McGowan in his pre-match as well said that a lot of them were Rangers supporters and went to the European nights sometimes. So we need to work out a list of who is the Rangers supporters in the team. Right, so let's rule out a couple. Well, Scott Bain, I think we can rule out. Aidan Nesbitt can ruled out as well, because I think his Instagram profile is him in the Celtic top still. Brian Graham can definitely be ruled out. Calvin Miller can be ruled out. So let's work out the Rangers supporters. I am going to go. Let's try work out. Give us your guesses tomorrow. I'm going Leon McCann, I reckon.
I think Leon is the other side of Glasgow.
Yeah. Right, okay, because he went to my mate's school. That's the only reason, I say that. He's a Rangers supporter, so I'm just putting one and one together.
The only player, and I'm not, listen, I don't hold it against them going to...
I don't hold it against them, I just want to fight.
I think the biggest, easiest one to talk about is probably Scott Arfield.
Scott Arfield, aye, that's
or Brad Spencer, because, I mean, fair enough, Brad,
that's a great shout.
Dad played for Rangers, he did.
Yep. John Adams?
What'd you say?
John Adams?
Is he not originally from the East Coast?
I think he would maybe be one of the Edinburgh teams, maybe. I could be wrong, but I think I've seen from his Instagram, I think Alfie's been to Ibrox a few times at the European games.
Alfie, there you go.
But I think he's a bit of a football tourist. He goes to a few different
all right, fair
places.
Enough. Better.
So,
better, yeah. Better. It's okay. We'll do our investigating. We'll find out. We'll find
there's
out.
A lot of like, chat about that as well, though. And, you know,
I know that it's just got blown out of proportion. I've seen it on social media. Listen, every player at every club will support a team. And we're in Scotland, so likelihood a lot of them are going to be Rangers and Celtics.
The only moan I've got about it is, why did it need to be brought up?
I don't know. I don't know. John's just said it.
I think in context, though, John was getting asked, were our players aware of the circumstances at Ibrox?
Oh, was that the... Oh, right, sorry. I didn't know it was the context.
Yeah, I saw it briefly when I was watching sort of stuff on social media after the game, and... because I'd read some of the comments about John saying that. So when I watched the clip, I think he was kind of getting asked, you know, what are your guys...
Fair enough.
Because obviously the situation with the Rangers players. And I think John was basically just answering it along the lines of, you know, well, some of my guys have been along, they don't need to be told. And for me, it wasn't a big deal. You know, I think
it's not like you say. It's like we know for call for the fact that Col Dolls is a massive jam.
Yeah, and then Hendo came out.
Hendo's a hipster. I mean, there's many Falkirk supporters. We'll take Scott Arfield. We'll just say he's a Falkirk supporter.
Well, Scott Arfield was probably sitting in a black balaclava behind the ring of team bus at the time. Come out!
Right, well, so listen.
I really want to draw a line at as a Livy. If any of them support Livy, then that's just
right, okay. Or Dunfermline, when we'll draw a line. We won't start the Barney again. But right, let's find out what Paul Smith had to say after the match.
Paul, a really good point on the face of it, but a bit disappointed not to take all three after that performance today.
Yeah, as you say, a great point at the end of the day, but I felt over the course of the 96 minutes, I thought we probably deserved the game, to win the game. Disappointed to go in 1-0 down at half-time. I felt for the first 30 minutes, we really dominated the game. We started on the front foot, causing them a lot of problems, getting a lot of crosses in the boxes. And as I say, it's just disappointed not to take one of those chances that came along. Obviously caught late into the first half, a wee sucker punch there. As I say, Rangers probably maybe got a wee grip of the game 10 minutes before half time, and scored a good goal on their behalf. A wee bit disappointing for us, but second half came back strongly again.
Henry Cartwright, not making a starting 11 today, but what a goal that was from him when he came on.
Yeah, it was a full squad. You know, we used 16 players today. It was a full squad that got us the point at the end of the day. We just wanted to put Ethan Williams in that 10 position, give us a wee bit more pace in there. Kyle Wilson, it was great to see him back. Thought he put in a fantastic performance as well. And we spoke to Henry midweek about, you know, we think he's done really well in the games, but just felt, you know, maybe to just change it around a wee bit today with, as I say, a wee bit more pace in the team in that 10 area. And Henry's come on and really aggressive challenge, drove forward with the ball, and it's a fantastic strike and a great goal, and absolutely delighted for him.
So there was Paul Smith and not John McGuinn doing the post-match. I wonder what the story was behind there. Maybe John had a date with the wife or something like that.
I think, because we're in the Premiership now, John, the post-match press conferences are, like, where the press are quite intense now.
So it's
maybe to do with that.
Maybe the reason
I... Maybe doing Sky or something. One thing about John, though, I don't know if you guys have noticed, he's had a wee bit of a glow-up. He's wearing these... Football Manager trainers, and he's got a
wee three quarter length. He's disposed of the cap, but the cap came out on the set for the second half. There was no.
Is that our lucky charm? Do we need his hat for?
I think it's got to happen because he wasn't wearing the cap at Hearts either.
Exactly, I know.
Mr. McGuinn, please get the cap back on the head.
It's like all our little rituals, you know. I'm sure all of us fans.
Exactly. Get the cap back on, John. Get the cap back on. I noticed that as well, Vicky. He's loving a bit of Premiership manager life with the trainers. I mean, where's the get the Puma Kings back, John? Come on.
Next, he'll be wearing the Scott Brown half-mast trousers.
Oh, no. Never do that.
But obviously that was after the match, and the scenes after the match were, I mean, a lot of people left the stadium, right? A lot of Falkirk supporters left the stadium. I was stuck in the stadium actually, because of all the bloody nonsense that was going out for the Union Bears blocking in the team bus. There's a white Range Rover, and it was just like everyone's just like that, over to the windows going, what's going on now? It's like it's live on Sky. We're all looking out the windows of the stadium going, oh, what's going on? Oh, that's a white limo. And then there was chat with, I don't know who was in the back, if it's Thelwell or Patrick Stewart, and they're having a chat out the back, you know, in the with the Union Bears. And then obviously then I heard all sorts, rumours started spreading around the stadium, he's gone, Russell Martin's been sacked. And then he kind of walked across the pitch, which I missed. Ross, you might have seen that if you were in the Brockville.
Someone had said, like, because the camera, as you said, the Sky Sports camera picked up on it. So then we went over to the window he was indeed walking across, which is a bit of a death knell. Because remember, Jim Goodwin did that famously against Hibs. Easter Road, didn't he?
And then I heard all sorts of rumours that Kevin Thelwell had went into the dressing room. So my theory is he got, after the match, he got the sack, Thelwell's went into the dressing room, sacked him, he's then walked out, got into a car, the team have then had to go in through the side way to get into the bus to get out of Falkirk. With the police escort, and then I was walking, I couldn't get out, and my brother was doing Sky, so I had to go out the side entrance that Russell Martin did, and I seen some of the Rangers directors just kicking about as well, and they were at the side entrance, and I was like, they wonder what's happening. I had to like be quiet as I went past, and then we had to wait, we're stuck in that little car park at the side, and we couldn't get out until the police escort, it was all kicking off, I was all
going back there, John, though, going back to your brother doing Sky, we didn't, everybody saw your celebrations.
Aye, listen, your celebrations were very muted for a screamer like that. I meant to call you out on that, actually.
I was just like, it was that way. I was just like a bit of shock going, I was like, and by the way, my brother David, if he's listening to us or watching this, stop it. Stop, honestly.
Well, I worked that one out straight away. I was like, it was obviously John's brother doing the camera.
Honestly,
a massive missed opportunity, though, to grab Stephen Purdon, put him in a headlock and then just like rub the top.
You couldn't see Stephen, who sat beside me looking raging, because Stephen's so small as well, he sat beside me, so you couldn't even catch him on camera, which was a shame. I should have got him off his feet going, come on, a pot to go, Stephen. But it was bloody David.
I noticed that you and Cameron had a little bit on social media as well about you being on it.
Yes, of course he did. But yeah, no, it's yes. Thanks for that, David. Really appreciated all the messages I got from everyone saying, I've just been on the telly. I was like, fuck.
can I just see before we do move on to the comments? I need to tell you what my youngest said. She, when I got home on Sunday night, she went, do you know I'm the same height as John's friend? And she's like 10.
Amazing. I'll pass that on to Stephen. The first thing Alex Ray was in the Super Score tonight saying, saw you on the telly, big man. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Nothing is sacred. Anyway, well, what a drama after the game. But we got your comments on the game, and Paul kicks us off saying, never seen us dominate a Rangers team for so much of a game. Realise we're trying to compete on a limited budget, so John McGlynn needs to be congratulated on the loan players he's managed to recruit alongside Scott Bain. Scott Bain had very, very little to do in that match.
Yeah, not a lot. He obviously had that long range shot from
Avenue, was it?
In the first half, and that was about it. Second half, bigger pardon, and that was about it.
Kick in the first half, but that went over the wall, but there was nothing.
Yeah.
I don't remember Scott Bain particularly having to make any kind of.
I think that was it. I think the goal and the long range save in the second half was the only shots on target they had.
Yeah, I mean, Hendo said that when he came over after the game. He said that Scott Bain, particularly in the second half, didn't have anything to do.
Speaking of Hendo, his dad, Willie, has got in touch and said, top drawer from Oor Henry. That was his.
Absolutely. Henry the Hoover and his massive arse. Davey Broonfoot up the tune. John often opens the song show with a song. So this week it needs to be the tune of Burr's Park Life, the Cartwright, with a strike. And we did that just for you, Davey.
We did. Paul Fullerton says, Falkirk outstanding and should really have won that. Some really excellent football. Created plenty of chances but lacked the clinical finish, the story of our season so far. And again, though, we go behind to a poor goal. However, Leon was man of the match for me.
into Falkirk Daft rated in a minute. Linda Hogg says, thought we were in for a harder game, but our performance was outstanding. However, we still can't take our chances and that needs to be addressed. Thought Cartwright's strike was outstanding. I'd like to see Hart in its centre-half. Rangers were rotten and the ref was at it. Leon, absolutely man of the match. Next. What do we think of Lewis Nielsen? He had a couple of shaky moments earlier on, but he settled into the game and that tends to be what Lewis does. He has a wee couple of shaky moments and puts all the supporters' nerves at a fray, but he settled into the game, I thought, Ross.
He did. I saw an interesting comment. I can't quite remember where I saw it now, but someone said it's like he has, like, is it the golfers that have the yips? Is it?
Yeah.
So he says it's almost like he gets over like his initial sort of yip. He's a wee bit nervous and then he kind of calms down. But listen, I said it right at the beginning. I didn't think there was a failure on Sunday. And yeah, Nielsen had a fairly comfortable game with Hendo at centre-back.
Yeah.
Joe Hind, one of our pals. I blame McGlynn for us not winning as he wore Football Manager shoes, just as Vicky mentioned, and he didn't put his lucky cap on until
we just said
half.
Joe. I absolutely could. You're spot on. Dave says, we've come a long way. When we're disappointed, only taking a point off Rangers. We need to be more clinical up front, however. Leon McCann was outstanding today. Henry's goal was well deserved.
Do you think it's clinical, guys, or do you think it's just decision making about what we actually do? Because to be fair, on Sunday, some of those chances were fair enough chances, and you know, I think there was just maybe different options it could have taken.
Yeah, I do think, you know, when you go back to the Kyrie Wilson chance earlier on, you know, maybe he should be wrapping his left foot around that. I know it's his weaker foot, but try to get his foot around that rather than try to put in Ross McKeever. And Ross McKeever, like I said, he couldn't do much with that. It came to him really close in and he couldn't get much power against it. So, yeah, no, it's a fair point. It's a fair point.
Indeed. Gavin Wood says, 2 points dropped. Only one team worthy of winning. Come on, the Bears.
Finally, Colin says, outstanding team performance. Only one team looking to take 3 points because utter carnage at times and a combination of decision making and being a little more clinical was all it cost us. Just taking the words out of your mouth, Vicky. Wee Lion Heart, Leon was man of the match for me, but Keelan was outstanding as well. Come on, ye Bairns. Which takes us nicely into Falkirk Daft Rated. And it can only be one man for me. Ross, I'll come to you though.
I think there's a few. Like, obviously, the goal is outstanding. But for overall 90 minutes, I'm going to go with Leon. I thought he was phenomenal.
That's who I'm going to go for. I thought he was robbed of man of the match by Keelan. Keelan had a good game. He had a really, really good game. He marauded up and down and he gave their left back, Cornelius, problems. I think it was Kasama was on that side as well. And he had real problems with him. So I thought Keelan had, but Leon.
Leon, I saw him after the game and he was pulling at his pocket. He had his car keys and we make him here.
Aye, great. I did, because he absolutely did. I mean, that I have to say, you know, like these boys that come up and, you know, we're in the same boat. We've got boys that come up from England. The special young boy's 18. He's been put hard position there, especially the way the Angels at the moment. But Leon, you know, just dealt with him. He didn't get really a sniff. I mean, he obviously got in for that kind of offside goal, but aside from that, he didn't come near Leon. Didn't come near. Leon was just a warrior on that pitch on Sunday. Absolutely outstanding performance. Vicky, don't let us persuade you otherwise, but who was it for you?
I was going to be going with Leon as well. Genuinely was. I think he was absolutely outstanding on Sunday, but I think he's been outstanding all the games this season so far, really has. I think, I don't know about you guys again, but I think a lot of teams underestimate Leon. You know, he's not the tallest guy. And I think they're underestimating his just determination. He plays with so much heart for the club. And yeah, I think he's done brilliantly so far, but definitely on Sunday, he was my man of the match. I agree, like, Keelan was very close and there was probably a few others as well, but for me, I would say Leon as well.
Well done, Leon. You are the Falkirk Daft rated player of the match, and the Falkirk Dafty goes to Ross Wayne.
Well, actually, it might go to me, and I'll tell you why. I've got a story. So we're in the boardroom before the game, as you know, when the match sponsors get invited in for a drink. No, I know. So there was about 30 people in the boardroom, like various sponsors. Stevie Jackson's doing his wee talk. He's got the championship trophy out for last year, right? So he's obviously, like, people are getting our pictures taken, including some of the Rangers fans, by the way, that were in. And,
are there names on it? That's because it's the old actual...
That's right, Premier League.
Yeah. League
trophy. So Stevie said just along those lines, and then I shouted out, which Rangers...
Oh, yeah.
And I got the death stare from about 25 beers, and
no, that's a Dafty award. That's,
I thought, fuck it,
award.
I'm saying it. But if looks can kill,
I bet you. No, you're not getting the Dafty for that. Vicky, have you got a Dafty?
No, not really. I didn't think the referee was brilliant. Some strange decisions.
Some decision you're like, what are you giving here, mate? And what is it?
I mean, there was one where Leon beat the guy twice, and then he had advantage and he was running away with it, and then he stopped it, and you were like, what the heck?
What about Russell Martin, just for his post-match interview, like saying that Rangers deserved the win, and
part about the conditions of the pitch.
Aye. The pitch is...
that was absolutely, like... just crazy. And he's like, oh, you know, it's hard conditions and pitch out there, and you're like, it's October in Scotland,
and you've got not a bowling green, but it's a very good pitch, and the conditions shouldn't have anything to do with it.
It was such a lame excuse.
Yeah, I'd rather the Union Bears for keep me body locked in the stadium for couldn't get out of the stadium. So either one of them, we'll go Russell Martin, God rest his soul. So there you go. I'm sure he's gutted away, walking away from Rangers with 5.5 million or whatever he's got in his back pocket, and Lucy Pinder back in the house for, you know, nightmare to be him, eh? Nightmare to be him. But we'll go for Russell Martin in that case. There we go. Right, okay, that's just as about done. But Vicky, it's your first time on the podcast, and it's your first time to play Falkirk Daft versus.
No pressure.
Just checking, Vicky, you weren't in the hospitality suite on, because I'm being lazy. I'm just using the questions.
Sweaty octopus as your known.
Stop being a busy boy. You know, it's bloody 9:30 at night and I'm still stuck at work, and I've been in here since bloody 12 today. So
that's why you're on the 5.5 million like Russell Martin.
Yeah. Right, okay. Right, so Falkirk Daft versus. I've got 5 questions about Falkirk. Ross is going to write down his answer. Vicky, you've just got to give me it. Right, so here we go. Who scored the winner for Falkirk in the last league meeting at Stadium before Sunday there? Who scored the winner for Falkirk in the last league meeting at the Stadium?
This season?
No, the last league meeting against Rangers at the Stadium. Who scored the winner?
Oh, right, okay.
For Falkirk.
Okay, I've not got my whiteboard beside me, so I'm writing it down, so hopefully you can see it. Oh, actually, Vicky answers first. I've got something written down. Sorry.
Right, Vicky, what you got?
Was it Bob McHugh?
I have went Bob McHugh as well.
I have a cue with Bob McHugh. It is Bob McHugh. Well done, 1-1. Next question. Apart from Scott Arfield, name any member of the current squad has been on the books at Rangers. Apart from Scott Arfield, name any member of the current squad that has been on the books at Rangers. You got an answer, Vicky?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Ross looks like he's struggling.
My mind has just went blank.
This hangover's lasted.
Wait a minute, hang off. I've got time, surely.
See if I can get a timer. See, I'm in the studio tonight, so I wonder if I have a timer I can break out from somewhere. Oh, that's a fanfare. I've got a timer. Oh, here's the 5K minute timer.
I am struggling with this one.
Here we go. We can get about the 5K minute timer. Here you go. You hear that?
No.
No.
You're just giving me more thinking time, which I'm quite
okay, right, but I'm going to have to you've had your time, Ross. You've had your time. Okay, right. What have you? You've not written down anything?
No, I've not. I can't think of a single player.
Vicky, give him an answer.
Connor Allen.
2-1, Vicky. I would have also accepted Tom Lang.
Did he play with Rangers as well, did he?
He was on the books at Rangers, Ross. He was on the books at Rangers.
Right,
so
fair
days. Tom, handsome Tom, there we go. So 2-1, Vicky. Right, next question. Who was the last player to move from Falkirk to Rangers?
Falkirk to Rangers.
Who was the last player to move from Falkirk directly to Rangers? You written some down?
I have, but
Vicky,
I
can't
be this far back.
Are you struggling?
Yeah, struggling with that one.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. You've not got an answer, Ross, what have you written down?
I'm sure there's been someone else, but I've went Alan Gow. I don't know if you can see that.
And Alan Gow is the correct answer. Loved by the wife, feared by the fife. Alan Gow, Alan Gow, Alan Gow. And it's his birthday, so happy birthday, Alan Gow. There we go. So 2-2. Ooh, here we go. Last two questions. In the 2009 Scottish Cup final against Rangers, who was in goals for Falkirk? 2009 Scottish Cup final, who was in the sticks for the Rangers?
I'm very confident with this one.
Very confident, Ross. Vicky, not looking not so confident, but I think, go on.
I was at the game, but I was literally a couple of weeks before giving birth, so my brain wasn't really focusing on...
Pregnancy brain. Nothing.
No.
Right. Ross.
I've won Danny Mallow.
And you would be right. It's a comeback. It's 3-2, right? Vicky, you need to get this question and hope that Ross doesn't get this. Final question. Oh, that's an easy one as well. Who scored a brace for Falkirk in the 2-0 win against Rangers in the Coca-Cola Cup? Who scored a brace for Falkirk in the 2-0 win against Rangers in the Coca-Cola Cup? Vicky.
No, I'm stuck. Sorry.
Okay. I've went... Richard Cadet.
Ross wins it 4-2. Oh, Vicky, gutted.
Made a good start.
It was a good start. I thought you were going to do it, put him in his place, but forward at the last hurdle. Well, Vicky, listen, thank you so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate it.
I can hear these again.
Yeah, we're back. So there you go. Thanks so much for coming on, Vicky. Really appreciate your time. And Emily can maybe come on the next time.
I'm sure she will. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. We'll see you at Falkirk Daft Live, Vicky.
You will do, yeah.
Fabulous. Remember, get your tickets. They're still available in our plug for that. Right, we'll see you later.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Vicky.
Thanks very much for Vicky. Come on and review the Rangers game. And remember, if you want to be a guest pundit, you can get in touch with us. We'd love to have you on, especially first-timers. It'd be nice to speak to some new people on it, but we do enjoy our regulars as well. So thanks for coming on, Vicky. Thank you very much as well to the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. The T8s are continuing their association with Falkirk Daft, and we'll all be in presence at Falkirk Daft Live getting the Venoms in, I'm pretty sure. But if you want to join them, they're getting involved down at the stadium 8:30 to 9:30 and they've got the Academy Legends and an over 50 section now as well. So if you want to make, you know, help your mental health, get a bit of fitness back in your life, this is the place to do it, especially if you're a Falkirk supporter. You don't even have to be a Falkirk supporter. There's a lot of guys who just go down for the camaraderie, and you know, we've seen them in action in previous cups as well. The Lava Cup, there was a lot of players from different supporters as well. So if you know someone that's kind of looking to get involved and, you know, want to help with their fitness, want to help with their mental health, get down to the stadium Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. The boys would love to have you down. And all the details are below. Contact Ian, Willie or Doogie and they'll get you sorted out and get you down and get you involved with the T8s and the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. That is it for this week's podcast. Is there any other business, Ross Wayne?
I don't think... Oh, we need a random player's name.
We do, because we've got to get Vicky to do it. Damn it! I keep forgetting this. Well done. Well done in the minutes for that one. Right, what are you going to go for? Let's pull out someone at random.
He was at the stadium on Saturday. I don't think we've used him before, so why don't we go with Farid?
Let's go Farid. Farid El Agoui. Let's put Big Farid. If you can spell his name and pronounce it, well done you. But Big Farid is our player. Message us to prove that you've got to this point in the podcast. That would be smashing. Remember, Falkirk Daft Live tickets with Brian Rice are on sale now. Get your tickets. We'd love to see you down at Behind the Wall on the 29th of November. Make it your Christmas party. Why not? You've got an office full of people that are all Falkirk supporters. Come on down. It'll be good to see you down there. So enjoy that. Remember, get us on YouTube. Your faces. I'm in the Clyde One studio tonight. Ross is in his house. It's now currently 9:45 at night, so I'm getting up the road. And if you listen on Apple or Spotify, leave a comment. helps with the old algorithm. That's great. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. You can get all your Falkirk Daft merch there. And of course, special range of t-shirts at pintsandprints.co.uk as well. We've got our own section there, so go and check all that sort of stuff there. And of course, the Discord channel is on the go as well. Download the Discord app and you can get involved in the forum is there. I've not been on it, I have to say, since the Rangers game, so I need to delve in to see what's happening there, because there's always something going on and there's always someone getting slagged, and sometimes I have to jump in as moderator and just say, boys and girls, stop it, because it's all the young team that generally are in there. So sometimes I have to be the old da and go and say, come on guys, let's just calm it down, let's just calm it down. So anyway, right, that's it for Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. Free week this week, so we won't be back until the Motherwell.
Yep, Motherwell preview. Yep.
Thursday, we'll be back with that. Hopefully, we're working on a guest pundit. We've got a couple of irons in the fire for a special guest pundit for that one as well. A couple of Motherwell supporters we know. So we'll hopefully have that on week on Thursday. But until that time, enjoy your weekend and
expect unexpected wonder bands.
We're Folk of Duff, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Folk of Duff, we're Folk of Duff. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Folk of Duff, we're Folk of Duff. For everyone who's kidding about being a folk of beer, we're Folk of Duff. Our Folk are daft.